How's it going, everybody? Welcome to episode 38 of the Apples and Genos Fantasy Hockey Podcast. This is the midweek edition. I'm Josh Hutchinson, and my co-host John Binkle's with me. What's up, Binksy?
What's up, man? Hoping for a Stars playoff run, but judging by bonus, it's probably not going to happen. That guy's going to screw us somehow. So
yeah, they're struggling crossed. A little bit. What's going on? I haven't been watching them too much. I've just seen final scores.
Honestly, they're just playing the same old kind of like passive aggressive dump and chase hockey that isn't successful for them. So I think after losing some shootouts against top teams, they kind of lost their buzz.
Right. And not enough urgency.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think mostly they're just old and tired, with exception to the trio that actually scores. So when they don't score, it doesn't go well, but we'll see. I mean, it is Stars hockey. They could go all the way to the finals
for no reason. It's not over yet. That's for sure. It's not over yet. They're still in the playoff spot, right?
Yeah, I think at the moment they're in the wild card spot. But
who knows? As long as Vancouver. Vegas keeps shooting themselves in the foot, that's you're probably okay. Yeah. All right. Well, this is probably going to be our last midweek podcast for the year. Or at least for our last in-season podcast. So let's jump into it.
Let's do it.
So shout outs to the band There for our intro and outro music for the podcast. There's a link to their Spotify page in the description of the audio feeds. And if you could, we'd love it if you could take a moment and leave us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It's great to hear your feedback, and it helps the podcast reach more people. We're also on YouTube, and we're streaming live right now, and there'll be a video archived on the YouTube channel that you can watch at your leisure. Also, if you want to support Apples and Genos, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/applesgenos. For the off season, Nate's got an option for you to switch your patronage to $1 a month. Just because there won't be as much content through the off season. But we are going to try and still spit out some podcasts, with, different style content. So, it'll be a little bit of a different pace, but we're looking forward to shooting shit. So, all right, let's jump into it. So we're going to kind of break our regular format this week. I didn't feel like there were any must make moves, but there were a lot of players that we wanted to talk about. But first, before we jump in to talk about the rest of the week schedule, let's do Stream Safe Sucks. So Stream Safe Sucks is the game where we like to pick a percentage roster ship from Yahoo and pick three players that are hovering around that roster ship and choose which player we're going to save, which player we're going to stream, and which player we're going to drop, or in our words, who sucks. So this week we decided we're going to go with 100%, because why not? And I think this is an interesting conversation because around 100% or 99%, there's the three defensemen that people are talking about being essentially shoe-ins for the Norris Trophy, and that's Cale Makar, Victor Hedman, and Roman Josi. So what do you think about those boys?
Well, I think, especially considering fantasy and just the age of the guys that we're talking about, Cale Makar is an easy front-runner. Also, he's just so much more fun to watch, the way he skates, the way he cuts on a dime. Like, the actual shots are insane. The production is obviously there for all three of them. They're all, you know, captain caliber and elite players. You know, arguably 1, 2, and 3 is at the position, not just in fantasy, but in actual hockey. So I think it's really more of a conversation between who would you rather have between Victor Hedman and Roman Josi. I have always been, with exception to the human turnstile Klingberg, kind of geared more towards offensive defensemen. I like, you know, guys who really push the pace and fire pucks at the net. So for me, it's probably Roman Josi. I'm also, you know, especially bitter after losing a cup to the Lightning. So I definitely just will take any opportunity to say that Victor Hedman sucks. but I'm going to go Makar and then Josi and then Hedman. So
yeah, it's hard to argue with that. I think I find the rhetoric out there is interesting. It seems like right now, at least in the media, people are talking about how Roman Josi is essentially a shoe-in for the Norris Trophy, and he's the absolute front runner, runaway favorite at this point. And I'm looking at their stats, and like Makar and him are very close in almost every statistical category. Makar has more goals, 27 goals. Josi has 20. Still incredible for a defenseman. Josi has only 5 more points than Makar. Their shooting is very similar. Josi has more shots, but then like hits and blocks are pretty close. Makar hits a little bit more. I think it's a closer race than people think. I think Josi may get more points just because he's on a team that maybe isn't, he doesn't have as much help.
Okay.
So you could argue that he is the MVP of that team, whereas Makar, I don't know, but the Norris Trophy isn't, that's not what the Norris Trophy is.
I can't even argue that he's the MVP of that team, though, with the way that Duchene has played this year. I mean, becoming a 40-goal scorer. So I think the stat that stands out to me most between the two of them is that Makar has 6 game-winning goals to 2 for Josi. Yep. And he's doing it on a team where, you know, they've got the most power play. They've got the most power play goals. They've got the most wins in the league. Like, if you are the far and away best player on a team that has arguably, you know, what, 4 of the top 10 players in the league, at least this year, if you're counting Kadri, it's not a close race for me for first. It's really second and third for them. And like I said, I will take any opportunity to tell Victor Hedman that he sucks. So.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely with you though. I think with Cale Makar, just because of age and situation, team situation, I would probably stick with him, even though Josi is probably in terms of points had a slightly better season than Makar. And then I would be streaming Josi because he's unbelievable right now. And Victor Hedman sucks. I think Hedman has been fantastic, but the Tampa Bay Lightning have struggled.
He's kind of the only one. Yeah, he's kind of the only one for them that's been fantastic, which is, you just love to see it, you know?
Maybe that's not his fault, but I would still take both of the other two over him, at least in the current situation right now. All right, well, let's move on to talk a little bit about the rest of this quote unquote week 26 in Yahoo, which is really the rest of this week and all of next week. There are numerous teams. I mean, the schedule, it's not like last week where there was a lot of heavy night. The heavy nights were super heavy and the off nights were super light. It's a little more spread out, which is nice. So there are a bunch of teams that have 5 games remaining, and that's, well, actually there's one team that is 6, Seattle. But we'll talk about all the teams that have 5 games remaining, which is the most out of that crop of teams. So so to start, we'll talk about the Arizona Coyotes. So Arizona, in my opinion, doesn't have a ton of options. Nate and I talked a little bit about them on the 10 Trends podcast on Sunday.
But I thought that Phil Kessel chat was really interesting, actually.
Yeah, and you know what, Phil Kessel, I have him on my list here. He's still an interesting option. He is back on power play 1, which makes him much more viable. And then 5-on-5, I think he's playing with Nick Ritchie, who's also been pretty good. So he's 9% rostered. I think I wouldn't be jumping out to grab him right away, but in a deep league where there's not a lot of options, I think he's an interesting option. He's got 6 assists in April. Doesn't really score a lot, but he generates more offense than anyone on the team right now. Now that Clayton Keller's not there, so he's very interesting. And then Nick Schmaltz is still scoring. He's not stopping. He's got 7 points in 10 games in April. He's still only 25% rostered, so he's a legitimate option too. He's line 1, power play 1. So any other thoughts about Arizona?
The sheer amount of shots from Phil Kessel is weird. You know, like Nate said, you know, you got to think that he's due, but considering the pattern, perhaps he's just shooting it just because he's Phil Kessel and nobody's going to tell him not to. But past those two, I don't know that there's anybody really to talk about on the team.
I agree. I know we've talked about Shane Gosses Bear in the past, but I just the power play one isn't that strong anymore with Makar not there. You've got Kessel and you've got Nick Schmaltz, but then you're filling it out with Travis Boyd and Nick Ritchie, which are, I mean, they're fourth liners at best on a good team. So that's a tough look there. And Gosses Bear has not been as hot lately as he has been at times earlier in the year. So Colorado's another team that's got five games, and they have tons of options. Valery Nichushkin is one of them. He's up to 48% rostered. That's really jumped up over the last little while because he's kind of been a mainstay on that top line and top power play with Landeskog out and now with Mikko Rantanen out. So he has 8 points in eight games in April. Andrei Burakovsky's been super hot, but he's way considerably more rostered than Nichushkin, which I found surprising. He's 67% rostered, so not as available, but still, I would probably check and see if he's available in your league. He's got 10 points in his last nine games, and Nazem Kadri's back in the lineup, so he'll be playing with
tonight.
He'll be playing with him 5-on-5, so that's good. He's power play two, so not as much opportunity there, but he's been hot. This is another interesting one. Arturi Lehkonen, one of their big trade deadline acquisitions. He is 9% rostered, and he's been playing on line one and power play one and has incredible rate stats in April. He's generating a ton of offense, and he has 7 points in his last nine games in April. So Arturi Lehkonen, I think, is a legitimate streaming option right now, playing with MacKinnon and Nichushkin 5-on-5 and then on power play one. That's a pretty good look for him, and he's really playing well. So a bit of a surprise there, I think he's worth a look for sure. Are there any other guys you want to look at in Colorado?
So I'm a big Bowen Byram fan. I've been interested from the beginning of the year. He's, one of my later round draft picks. I kind of expected him to go the route that Mort Sider did. And to an extent, he did until he got his brain rocked. But he is back on the first line with Makar while Taves is out. He is the power play two quarterback. So Colorado is leading the league in total power plays and in power play goals. So the opportunity is certainly there. He's getting the ice time. He got a season high 24 plus minutes time wise last night against Seattle in the loss. And as much as I really just am interested in him as an offensive defenseman, like I said, he also offers you hits and blocks. So if you're looking for a game where you need a couple of hits, a couple of blocks, and you're hoping for, you know, a goal and a point or two assists, I think he's a solid option for you, and he's super, super available at 23%. So,
yeah, I like Byram too, man. Colorado is terrifying. Like that team is far and away the best team in the league. I guess they're tied with Florida for first in the league right now in points. But they have been riddled with injuries all year. Like it's been rare for all of their big boys to be healthy at the same time. It's almost never happened. There's been barely any stretches like that, and they're still dominating everybody. It's pretty scary. It's pretty scary, man. I don't know. We'll see how things go in the playoffs, because they've low key not had a ton of luck there. I know I say that as a Leafs fan, and I'm not ripping them for that, but that's something that people don't talk about a ton. So
I say it as a Stars fan, where I walked into a series with them going, this is not going to be good for us at all. And we swept them and walked away with it. So it's, you know.
Exactly, man. Columbus Blue Jackets. So they got five games as well. Jack Roslovic, he's been playing on line two. He's got 9 points in nine games in April. He's been really good. Seven of those are goals too. So he's been ripping. He's 13% rostered, so definitely a legitimate option in terms of offense there. Gustav Nyquist is 10% rostered. He has 8 points in nine games, so he's been pretty good too. He's playing on the top line. Jakub Voracek He's 44% rostered, has 7 points in 9 games. So a few offensive options there. Is there anyone else you want to look at there, Binksy?
A little bit under the radar is Sean Corrali, 11% rostership, center and left wing eligible. He's got 5 points in 6 games. So he's going to give you shots on goal, hits, blocks, face-off wins, and PIMs. So, you know, if none of these players are available to you, if you're striking out for center and left wing and you need somebody that's going to, you know, dump a little bit in each category, I think he's a great option.
Yeah, Corrali's had a good year for him, for sure. Edmonton Oilers have 5 games. There's not a ton of options there. I think you had one player you wanted to talk about, though, John.
So he's somebody I rostered all year long, struggling with Tyson Barrie and whether or not to drop him, as I'm sure the listeners remember. But honestly, if they're not a premier player on this team, I'm not super excited about picking them up as a streamer. The only option that really stands out to me, and he's picked up the pace a little bit recently, is Evan Bouchard, 41% rostership. He's on line two and power play two. And he's scattering shots on goal and hits and blocks. So he's giving you peripheral categories. And he definitely has the offensive ability to score if it's not, you know, the other three top scorers in the league for them. So
what do you think? Are you gonna stream Mike Smith if he's available?
Tell me how you feel about Tim Stützle.
Oh, God.
That's what we're doing, huh?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I got the receipts.
I think that's gonna come up later.
Mm-hmm.
Florida Panthers. So they're pretty similar, where they do have some depth options, but a lot of their big guys are very much rostered. But Gustav Forsling, his rostership has shot up recently because he has been ridiculously good on offense. 9 points in his last 9 games. He's up to 47% rostered. I think I checked like a week or two ago and he was in the 20s. So yeah,
it's jumped a lot.
Pretty significant. Yeah, 6 of those 9 points are goals. He screwed me as well in my finals week last week. I think I waited a little bit too long to stream him for the Friday, Sunday. They were playing on Friday and Sunday. And then my opponent picked him up and he scored 3 goals in 2 games. So, and that was the difference essentially. So Gustav Forsling, definitely an option. Brandon Montour, also another defenseman. He's 18% rostered, so much more available. But he has 8 points in 9 games. So almost as good. Not talked about quite as much. So
I feel like my grandmother could get points playing on
the Florida Panthers. Probably.
Just throw it at the net and let superstars go to work.
Is there anyone else from Florida? I know we've talked about Mason Marchment in the past. We've talked about Anton Lundell. They're both usually pretty available. But those are the two I wanted to highlight. Is there anyone else for you?
I'm not really excited about anybody else. Yeah. You know, it's the same old story from Edmonton and et cetera. Worth noting that Verhaeghe is not playing tonight, though. So
okay.
Something to watch to see if anything shakes out there.
No talk of injury or anything.
You know, I don't actually remember the reason that he sat. Doing some research and other things and just saw the line that Carter Verhaeghe was not playing tonight. So I have no idea why. I don't know whether it's going to continue, but something to be aware of.
All right. Minnesota Wild. They've got 5 games too. Matt Boldy's still super available, 24% rostered. He has 8 points in his last 6 games. He's playing ridiculously well. Still playing on a line with Kevin Fiala, who has been unbelievable the last little bit.
Second half Fiala.
He is on one of those second half Fiala benders. And Matt Boldy is reaping the benefits there. He's also, that being said, Freddie Gaudreau playing with them as well. He's centering those two. 7% rostered. He has 8 points in 10 games. So another depth option if you're in a deep league and Boldy's not available. So anyone else from Minnesota?
No, those are the ones. Okay. Boldy is the one I'm looking at, you know. I wish he did more peripheral stuff, but man, he is one electric player.
He's great in terms of points, for sure. That's for sure. Who you got from the Nashville Predators?
So there's a few people to look at, but the one that I really want to highlight is Ryan Johansson, 42% roster ship. He's centering second line and playing on the first power play. He's scattering hits, blocks, shots, and double-digit faceoff wins. Super available. He's got three game-winning goals in the last month, if that's a category available to you, including one against the extremely hot Minnesota for a hat trick. He is involved in the end of games. He's involved with the point getters on the team. And I think he has the best chance to not give you zeros in any category across the board.
Yeah, of the guys that are available, for sure. I think he's a guy that's had a really resurgent year. He seemed like one of those players that signed a big contract that was maybe going to be a bust, and seemed like he was kind of done, just like Matt Duchene. But both of them have had huge resurgent years. So good for them. Cause they were big players in the league a few years ago and have kind of dropped off. It seemed like they were done, but they're back. The New Jersey Devils, Nico Hischier is still hot. He's 35% rostered. He's got 10 points in 9 games. Still playing really well in Jack Hughes' absence. They're leaning on him for offense, and he is coming through. And Sharon Govich playing with him 5-on-5. He's still 10% rostered. He has 7 points in 9 games too. Anyone on the blue line there, Binksy?
Severson is definitely worth a look. He's got 5 in his last 8. And in those 8 games, he's a plus 10 on a team that's, you know, definitely not been as good.
That's surprising.
It is surprising. It's definitely worth noting. And he had a season high 6 hits against Vegas. He's good for hits, shots, blocks, and he's certainly available. He's going to give you something rather than nothing most nights. So,
totally. Yeah, I'm with you there. The New York Islanders, we've talked about them a ton over the last few weeks because they just seem to always have 4 games. They've had a really nice schedule and they still continue to have a nice schedule. We've already talked about the Brock Nelsons, the Anders Lees, all of those guys we pretty much bring up every week. But who else do you got there, Binksy?
I think Ryan Pulock is worth a look. 28% super available to you. He's got over 3 shots on goal, 2.5 hits, and 2.5 blocks per game in the last 5. So he's given you something in every place that you could hope from him. Twice in those last 5, he's had over 25 minutes on the ice. So he's getting every opportunity. And he's, you know, available on a team that is, you know, like we talked about for the last 6 weeks, is just playing a ton during the playoffs. So go and pick him up.
Yeah, totally. And JGP has COVID, so don't pick him up. We were talking about him, and he kind of was cooling off, though. We were talking about this off mic before he got COVID, so he was probably in a drop situation unless you're looking for peripherals. But Ryan Pulock,
I think he realized that everybody started to have faith in him again on his hot streak, and he was like, "It's over."
Nah. Yeah, Ryan Pulock's a guy I've been talking about a lot. He was a peripherals monster last week for me. I had him in both of my leagues that I was in the finals for. He was not one of the players that let me down. So he's definitely worth a look if he's available. You got anyone from Ottawa?
So both of these dudes are super under the radar. Obviously, there's 3 or 4 guys that we talk about all the time and, you know, rank differently week to week based on sheer last 3 games played. But I want to talk about a couple of guys that nobody's really talking about at all. Erik Brännström is a former phenom, early round draft pick that kind of has fizzled, and he's 1% rostered. He's on the second D line and he's power play 1 quarterbacking right now after the Chabot injury. He's playing for contract hopes. He's great for blocks. He has the athletic ability, and this is kind of the last time that he's going to get to show Ottawa or anyone else that might sign him in the offseason that he's got the chops to be an NHL player. So it's something I'm definitely paying attention to. I don't really know what to expect from it, but it's definitely on my radar.
Nate and I were mentioning on the 10 Trends podcast that their power play has been ridiculously good lately. So.
Yeah.
So the chances of him racking up some secondary assists there, even if he's not generating the offense, is pretty good, because those top four guys, top four forwards on the Senators are really hot right now.
On fire. And then, of course, you know, one of Nate's players to watch, somebody that he's been really excited about is Alex Formanton at 2% rostership. 2 goals on 7 shots versus Vancouver, a very hot team lately, and he scatters hits and blocks. So another situation that I'm not necessarily buying straight away, but I'm definitely paying attention to.
Yeah, I like Formanton as well. San Jose's got 5 games. I don't really like San Jose. They don't have a ton of options that are available, like unless you're talking Timo Meier or Thomas Hertl or maybe Brent Burns. There's no one I'm really interested in there. Noah Gregor has 6 points in his last 9 games. He's a third liner, power play two. Nate's talked about him a little bit. He feels like there's something there because he's kind of a fancy stats darling in terms of generating offense. But he is 0% rostered. So if you're really desperate in a deep league, he's there too, and has been contributing a bit. But I don't think I'm really interested in anyone from San Jose. What about you, Binks?
I actually didn't know who that was when I saw him in the show notes.
Until Nate brought him up earlier in the year, I'd never heard that name before.
I really enjoyed that in the last episode, actually, the weekend episode. I was like, yep, never heard of that dude. And I'm like, me neither, bro. Me neither.
Yeah, we're on the same page. Seattle Kraken. So this is an interesting team. I really want to highlight the Seattle Kraken. They have 6 games coming up. They have the best schedule out of anybody. Matty Beniers is the most interesting player for me. Obviously, you've got your Jared McCanns, you've got your Jordan Eberles, who are steady Eddies. McCann has been playing well. He's got 7 points in 9 games. Still 18% rostered. Eberle is 17% rostered. Hasn't been chipping in as much lately, but he had a goal the other night. And he's playing with Matty Beniers, who's been awesome. He's got 4 points in 4 games. He has never not scored a point in the NHL, in an NHL game. So, I mean, I looked at his advanced stats. They're not fantastic, but he's getting on the scoreboard, and he is one of the most highly touted prospects in the NHL right now. So he could be the type of guy that down the line turns this Kraken franchise around. That's the type of guy they need. He had a great year in college, and he's looking pretty good so far. He's playing on the top line, top power play, and getting every opportunity. So I think he's genuinely a good streaming option right now, especially with Seattle's schedule. Is there anyone else there? They have a few guys in terms of bangers. Your Jamie Oleksiaks, your Adam Larsons, you could pick up on the blue line. But is there anyone else that you like there from Seattle?
You know, my heart says Big Rig. I love Jamie Oleksiak. I was super bummed when Dallas let him go. Fantasy wise, I think Larson is probably the better pickup if those are the categories that you're chasing. But earnestly, I think there are some better options for hits and blocks out there other than those two dudes. So I would probably look elsewhere. I am really excited just watching Matty Beniers. I love Michigan hockey players. They just play with a kind of a University of Miami football swagger to them. I feel it's, you know, they're so athletically gifted that they just go out there and try and embarrass people. And I love when people do that. But at the same time, I feel like towards the end of this already sunk season for the Kraken, they're kind of letting him do whatever he feels like out there. And maybe next year when they try and fit him into a system more, or they try and kind of mold him into more of an IQ hockey player, that he's not going to have the same flash and like panache of, you know, lifting a puck up into the corner and then trying to dive bomb the net, or you know, deflecting a shot at like a 170 degree angle and hoping it goes in, you know. So I don't know what to expect with the actual point production from him, but he's a lot of fun to watch for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Tampa Bay. So they're another team that is pretty top heavy this year. their, but even their top guys aren't really producing that much right now. But there's a couple of guys I wanted to highlight. Nick Paul is 4% rostered. They picked him up from Ottawa at the trade deadline. And he's playing with Kucherov and Braden Point on line one right now. And he's playing really well. He's got 8 points in 10 games. So he is a legitimate option. And also Ross Colton is playing on line two with Stamkos and Palat. And he also has 8 points in 10 games. So they are rocking and they're generating a lot on a team that's not really generating a ton in general. So what about you, man? Is there anyone on Tampa Bay that's available other than those two guys that you'd be interested in?
Those are the only two. I keep checking for Sorelli. I keep checking for Palat. It's just not happening. I think they're gassed or they're just coasting or maybe they just, you know, aren't playing.
Or they're saving. Or they're saving their energy.
You know who isn't saving? Andre Vasilevsky. He's not saving anything.
He's not stopping much. I don't think he's let in a goal yet against the Leafs tonight. I think it's still scoreless as far as I know. But he is struggling. Those guys that invested first round draft capital in Andre Vasilevsky are not very happy.
This guy did it.
Not good. Not good, man. Washington Capitals. Who you got from there?
So these are our hits monsters. Obviously, it's kind of over your bust there. TJ Oshie will make you want to, and then you review the stats, and it's just not that exciting. But these players are supremely valuable and very available. Garnet Hathaway at 12% has 4 points in his last five, and he's a hit monster. He's going to scatter a couple of blocks in there, but seriously, you can rely on this dude to give you five or six or seven or eight hits a night. It's just ridiculous. He's hitting people like Tom Wilson did a couple of years ago. And also Martin Fejerberry at 18%, also a hits monster, and he's scattering blocks and shots. So between the two of them, Hathaway is more exciting to watch, but the better fantasy asset, probably Fejerberry, going to give you three categories as opposed to two.
Worth noting too, Fejerberry has been scoring goals lately too. So that's new. I don't know if that's sustainable or not, but the pucks are starting to go in for him.
It didn't seem that way from the shooting percentage. I think he's getting like one shot a night, if that, but
yeah,
he has scored.
Not a high volume shooter, but he's a good defenseman. So that's pretty much it for our options in terms of streaming this week. So let's jump into the mailbag. I think you're going to want to ask this first question.
I'm really excited too. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. So question number one from the mailbag tonight, Mr. Zero G himself, our captain, your captain, Nate G. He wants to know, what are your feelings on Tim Stützle?
He's a menace. Bad for the league. Just padding stats. Two empty netters in one game. That's what a selfish player.
I like him. He's my favorite of the trio in there.
I'm kidding. I'm not actually that bitter. He's a good player. I'm happy for him that he's starting to live up to his potential a little bit. Bit of a diver.
Okay.
You heard that. Did you hear that Brendan Gallagher press conference?
I did.
You did? Yeah. When they played the Leafs next, I watched him and I'm like, oh yeah, he's totally right about that.
Yeah, he does.
he's quite an embellisher. So
he's going to catch a couple of those penalties for sure.
Yeah. I mean, this is something Nazem Kadri, a few years ago when he was playing for the Leafs, was led the league in penalty differential 1 year. And then the year after, Leafs media was making big deals about it. Steve Dangle did a segment on his YouTube videos where he would be Nazem Kadri Bob Ross, and he would be drawing penalties. So, which is pretty funny. After that, the refs started figuring out that he was pretty good at embellishing, they stopped calling penalties for when people would commit infractions against him. So we'll see how that goes with Tim Stützle, because it's been pretty public. We'll see.
Yeah, I think the word is out on him. I think that he's probably going to start catching some embellishment penalties. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see. He's good offensively, though. I do like that he hits as well.
Yeah, he's a solid player. I am earnestly excited to see the next few years play out for Ottawa. I think it's going to be cool. And you know, who doesn't love it when little brother starts to play well finally, right?
Absolutely.
So, question number two in the bag from Richard B 123. He says, am I crazy for deliberating dropping Eichel to open up another streaming spot?
I think Binksy said it best a few weeks ago. It's the playoffs. You should not feel bad about dropping anybody. Vegas has a weird schedule right now where they don't play until Sunday. I think they have like three nights off. So, I mean, I think they have a few games next week. They start playing a little bit more. So I don't know. I don't know that I would be brave enough to do that, but I don't think you're crazy.
I don't think we have to ask whether this is a keeper league or a dynasty. You know, in that case, you're going to roll with the punches and just keep Eichel because of his, you know, future prowess on a team that should be a lot better than
should
it is.
Be better.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just automatically going to assume this is a redraft. You're absolutely right in highlighting how smart I am. Anybody is droppable at this point, you know, other than, you know, the top eight people in the league. Anyone is droppable if you're going to maximize games played. In reviewing the stats, he's pointless in the last three games. But in the nine games before that, he had eight games with a point or more. So he's certainly got the talent. I think it depends on who you're dropping him for, and that's true of any ad drop, but I wouldn't, mm-hmm. I don't think you're crazy for deliberating it. I probably wouldn't do it for a, you know, a C3 power play tour. Make sure that, you know, that this person that you have is A, going to play on your roster, and B, going to play on the ice, but you're not crazy.
If there's someone with comparable production, then absolutely, which at this time of year, that starts becoming more likely that you're going to see players like that on the waiver wire, just because people have been desperate, mm-hmm. especially at the end of last week. That's usually when you start seeing players that you wouldn't normally see pop up on the waiver wire. So if there's someone out there that you like and you feel like they'll be a good replacement for Eichel, then go for it. Let's do question three. It's from the Pork Man. Any players you two think were unsustainably low or high besides Kreider, because he's obviously unsustainably high this season, that will either come back down to earth or head to the moon? Do you have anyone in mind there?
So my immediate thought is Braden Point. You know, a lot of people drafted him in the first 30 picks. You know, he's a back-to-back cup champion on the first line with Kucherov. Like, how can things be going poorly? I don't think anybody understands it. I have this weird feeling that something like the news about Tyler Seguin last year is going to come out, where like at the end of the season, he's going to be like, oh yeah, I need to have hip surgery on both my hips or something like that. Yeah. Right. Cause hockey players will just be like, oh yeah, my fibula is broken, but I played 82 games this year, you know?
Yeah.
And you're totally like, oh, insane. That's why you sucked. You told no one, you just taped it up. Okay.
Just another breed of human.
So, I mean, that's a perennially elite level player, and just has been just a dumpster fire this year. You know, people are memeing him because he's undroppable and they want to in the playoffs. As far as unsustainably high, I'm huge on Duchene, but just like we talked about it, you know, previous to the trade deadline, like, how does he become a 40 goal scorer again? You know, like, yeah. he was having trouble cracking 20 in back-to-back seasons. And we all assumed that he was going to score less when Forsberg came back, and he still hit a 40 point pace. And I think it was the first Predator to ever do it. So, or 40 goal pace, and was the first Predator to ever do it. like beat Forsberg by one goal already. So I don't know of a way that that continues. Like, he's getting older. The team is not getting better, and none of us saw it coming this season. So
yeah, that's the guy I had in mind too, as far as like an unsustainably high. I think Nashville in general, I saw a stat recently that their top four forwards in terms of goal scoring this year are all shooting over 20% on the season. So that in itself is probably unsustainably high for all four of those guys. So that's Philip Forsberg, Ryan Johansson, Matt Duchene, and Tanner Jeannot. I mean, jury's still out on Jeannot. Like, maybe he's just really good. He plays on the third line, so doesn't necessarily get a ton of opportunity to be generating shots. But I mean, the stats kind of lead us to believe that those guys are getting lucky. I think any of those guys are probably not going to be quite as good as they were this year. Nashville's had a bit of a magical season. UC Saros has been amazing. He's probably in the Vezina conversation. Obviously Roman Josi, we already talked about him. He's having just a ridiculous year in terms of defensemen or points from a defenseman. So
even for him, it's been an outlier year. So
yeah, I think you could talk about that. Like, is that sustainable? Like, he hasn't done anything close to that. I mean, maybe close to it. Like, he's still was ranked pretty high in terms of offensive defensemen, especially in fantasy. At the start of the year, he's just like wasn't number one. So
there's a player that comes to mind I want to pick your brain about terms of this category. How do you feel about Nazem Kadri next year?
Gotcha. That's tough. It depends on where he goes, because he's not staying in Colorado. There's no way they're re-signing him. So it really depends on where he goes. I've heard talk about the Flyers, which I don't like. I've heard talk about the Montreal Canadiens. I think he would be a really good fit there, although it would hurt me deeply. But that was his favorite team growing up.
He seems like a Habs kind of player.
He just really
like fits. I can already picture him in that sweater.
Yeah. Absolutely. Just a pesky smaller. He's not small, but he's got that grit and that style of play.
Yeah, he's just an irritating player on
that the Habs have had like in the last 20 years or so. So I think he'd be a great fit there. I think they have the cap space. I think it really depends on where he goes, but I also think, again, he's never come close to his point totals at this point. And even in the second half of the season, he's kind of fallen off a little bit. We were talking about him getting over 100 points. And I know he was injured for a little bit, but even so, like, he had slowed down before that. So you're probably going to see a bit of a drop off there for Nazem Kadri. And I think people are probably going to be drafting him higher than he may be. Than how he's probably going to produce.
That's what I'm thinking. He's, you know, this year he was drafted before I was able to get to him and wanted him. Mm-hmm. And next year he's going to be drafted way before I even.
He's going to be drafted pretty high next year, I think.
Consider it. Yeah.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. So we had a question about Matty Beniers. We've already kind of talked about Matty Beniers. That was from Reese's Pieces. Don't want to write you off there, Reese's. But we kind of already touched on Beniers. Our last question is from the Mark Skinner. Any teasers for off-season content? So, I mean, a lot of the podcasts that we have planned are kind of like the discussion we were just having. Players that had really good years that are due for negative or positive regression. Biggest disappointments. Biggest surprises from the year. We're probably going to go through how we did with our drafts, how we did with our fantasy season, and just biggest mistakes, players that we were correct about at the start of the year that we took a chance on. So things like that. I think we're going to be touching on that. A lot of strategy style. I mean, just delving into the strategy that we that we used this year specifically, or the way that we play the game. So yeah, so it'll be a little bit different. But we're excited. There's a little bit more that, that we'll talk about at a later time, but we're excited for the off season. I think we're probably going to take a week off here just because we've been going. And I think next week, obviously there's going to be what, 2 days left in the season. So we're not going to be too much help at that point. It's really going to be grasping at straws at that point in the year. So
honestly, if you're still playing at that point, you probably
your instincts.
You probably don't need our help that much.
Exactly. You know, you're exactly in the same
boat we are.
If it still means something at that point, then you probably trust your gut. All right. Well, I think that's it for us tonight. So thank you for listening. Check out the Apples and Genos Discord. John, Nate, and myself are in there all the time talking fantasy hockey. You can also follow us on TikTok at Apples and Genos, and also on Twitter. John's at Binklemania. I'm at JustJoshin41, and Nate's at Apples Genos. So this is Binksy and Hutch signing off. Have a good one, folks.
Good night, world. Thanks for listening.